Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad. And I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Hi, I'm Zivi Owens, and you're listening to Moms Don't Have Time to Read Books. This 30-minute podcast features a new author interviewed by me every single day, 365 days a year, for about 30 minutes. I am also the publisher for Zivi Books, which publishes 12 books a year in fiction and memoir. Our books are already out now, and you can check it out on zivibooks.com. And we have a magazine called Zivi Mag, where we have lots of wonderful essays and lifestyle features. That's at zivimag.com. We have classes at zibiclasses.com. And I recently opened a bookstore in LA called Zivi's Bookshop at 1113 Montana Avenue at 11th Street in Santa Monica. I hope that you are able to enjoy some of our other offerings, but this here podcast is the basis of all of it and started in 2018. And no matter what I do, this is basically my favorite thing. Enjoy. Lovey Ajayi Jones is back on Moms Don't Have Time to Read Books for the second time to discuss her children's book, Little Troublemaker Makes a Mess. She also sent me the most amazing swag for my kids. I couldn't decide which Little Troublemaker to give it to, but it included this adorable apron and wooden spoon and a hat and book and coloring sheet and markers and a pin and so much. It was so sweet and we really appreciate it. Lovey is a 3-time New York Times bestselling author, speaker, and entrepreneur who thrives at the intersection of culture, business, and leadership. She is CEO and Chief Creative Officer of All Love Media. Her critically acclaimed books, Professional Troublemaker, The Fear Fighter Manual, and I'm Judging You, The Do Better Manual, were instant bestsellers and established her as a literary force with a powerful pen. Her first book for young adults is Rising Troublemaker, a Fear Fighter Manual for Teens, debuted at number 3 on the New York Times bestseller list. And now comes her newest venture and first picture book, Little Troublemaker Makes a Mess. Her renowned TED Talk, Get Comfortable with Being Uncomfortable, has over 8.3 million views, has been transcribed into 23 languages, and has placed her in the top 1% of TED Talks of all time. Lovey has taken the stage at some of the world's most innovative and disruptive brands, such as Google, Facebook, Microsoft, Twitter, Spotify, Nike, Bank of America, Salesforce, Deloitte, and Clipbar. She's been a featured speaker at noted conferences such as Cannes Lions, South by Southwest, LeaderCast, 3% Conference, and Makers Conference. Lovey is the host of a podcast of the same name as her popular book, Professional Troublemaker.
Lovey, thank you for coming on Moms Don't Have Time to Read Books and interviewing with me to talk about Little Troublemaker Makes a Mess. I'm so happy you're here today.
Thank you so much for having me. I love Zivi's work, and I'm always excited to share space with fellow lovers of knowledge.
Yes. Oh, it's so perfect. And I have to tell you that I started my day today by showering and using the soap or the sponge that I got off of your Instagram years ago at Sapo, right? I think it's Sapo.
Yeah, the Sapo sponge 2 years ago.
I'm obsessed. I have probably 8 of them now. I buy them for people all the time. That was probably, I'd been following you for a while, but when that popped up, I was like, now I'll do whatever she tells me to do. You sold me.
Listen, I have a Sapo sponge. I have a travel one.
Yes. Oh. I love both sizes. I bought the kids one even, and then I've been using it for me. Oh, I'm so glad. It's just, this is the stuff we need. We need to be exfoliated.
All the time.
Yes.
Stay smooth.
It's perfect. I love it. Well, I'm so glad you're here today and that we're both clean and prepared and ready for the interview.
Amen.
So I wanted to talk to you, just starting off this book. First of all, let me say, I really loved it. It's so well done. I think the kids are going to love it. It's so, the illustrations are really lively, but your text is really just right. And it's hard to do in a picture book. I've read thousands of them and it's it flows nicely. I love the relationships between the characters. There's so much to talk about there that's valuable, but well
done.
That
is such an amazing affirmation. I love to hear that. This is my first kid picture book. And I would tell you, I was like afraid and a little bit daunted by it in the beginning. And I was like, I don't know if I can write a kid's book, but I end up doing it. So the fact that you're like, it's actually dope. I'm excited.
Yes, it's easy to see that. I was reading it and smiling. And that's really a true test for me because I just sort of smile at the books. And I loved Little Lovey. I think connected with her and it's so great. So I kind of wanted to talk, first of all, just about like, you know, how you are obviously a New York Times bestseller many times over. And we have I'm Judging You and because you're queen of the necessary the side eye, I would say. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because it is very necessary. So that, and then we went to Professional Troublemaker and you have one for teens. And now we're in the children's space. But just will you tell me about a little bit about the children's book and how you got there and how you're feeling about it being part of this collection?
You know, so Little Troublemaker Makes a Mess felt so right for me to do. For a long time, I wanted to show a picture of like an overconfident kid who's a girl in book form, because I feel like we don't have enough of them. You know what I'm saying? Yes. Like in the book space, there's just not enough that empowers girls, especially. And then a brown girl that like me, it really is hard to find. Mm-hmm. So when I wrote Professional Troublemaker, a lot of parents were like, oh my gosh, I wish I had this book when I was a teenager. So I wrote Rising Troublemaker for the teens to give them the book and actually to give me the book that I needed when I was 16 and needed to hear that being different is okay.
Yes.
So then I was like, you know what? But like the babies also need to hear a story about a little girl who's too much, who always learns that her mistakes don't define her, that she's still lovable in spite of them, right? Like Little Lovey will always learn, because this is the first of a series, I'm claiming that. Little Lovey will always learn that she is worthy, right? Even though she doesn't always get things right, even though she will always learn a lesson and learn how to move forward different. One thing I always want at the end of every book that I'm going to write about Little Lovey is that she walks away saying, somebody still loves me, even though I made a mess, even though I got in trouble, even though I didn't make the right decision, I am still okay. So that's why I wrote it.
I have goosebumps. I find that so beautiful and inspiring because we kids, especially, they need that grace so much for themselves and to know that, and especially like you're speaking about kids who are a lot, kids who, you know, their desires and their visions outweigh their abilities. And
correct.
So they're just kind of a mess sometimes. And
to
know that that's a lovable part of who they are and not a part to set aside is just such a gift for them. So I think you captured that really well.
And you know, one thing that I actually realized as Big Lovey, who's like learning to love herself even more through Little Lovey, because I'm giving her more grace.
Yes.
Is that adults need to hear that. You know, so many of us are perfectionists. And the moment we make mistakes, okay?
Yeah, hand raised.
Type A perfectionist right here.
Yes, yes.
The moment we make a mistake, we have a bad decision, we make a bad choice, we have a bad day, we end up thinking we're a bad people. So I kind of put the lessons that I wanted to hear into what little Lovey's also going to be learning. Like, because if we heard that enough when we were little, that like your mistakes don't define you, we are less likely to become the adults who scalp ourselves every time we don't get something right. Every time it does not go the exact way we want it to go. Every time we might feel embarrassed by something. Yes. Right. So I'm like, I'm pouring all the grace I don't usually give myself into little Lovey, and I'm hoping she pours it back into me, and she's already started. So that's been, it's been gifting me right back to me.
Oh, that's such a good thing to hear. It's so true, because we do, our inner voices are horrible.
Yes.
They're just vicious. And so the idea that you can replace some of that a little bit for yourself, and then also to think if kids have those tools and those voices and they hear them differently earlier, like what a,
yes.
Just especially since mistakes are part of the process. And I still hate it, but apparently it's true.
I know, I hate making mistakes. Let the record show. I hate making mistakes. I value myself on being somebody who's excellent. It's one of my big core values. It is.
Yes.
So making mistakes really just like punches me in the face differently. And I'm just like, oh gosh. So yeah, for little Lovey to make a mess in this book, mm-hmm. and her mom tells her, okay, I want you to fix this, but I still love you. It's an affirmation I think a lot of us just need to hear. So the baby's hearing that now.
Yeah.
All right. Amen.
You're exactly right, though. Adults need to hear it, too. And I maintain, A, that you're never too old for picture books. And that
facts.
There are still books that I read as an adult that that make me feel feelings that I need to feel in that same way where there's a... Because we are all on this, you know, journey of trying to heal the little people inside us since they're still
correct.
Present. And so this idea that we're able to do that. So, yes, I think your book will be for both young people and older people. Big people and
Big people and little people. We all need it. But no, I'm so excited for the little people to hear it too, because they're gonna, it's so colorful. And I want it to be colorful so they can be like, oh my gosh.
It's beautiful. The illustrations that Joey did are incredible. Now, how was that process? Did you, because I know typically you finish all of the text and then send it to the illustrator. Was that how it went for you? Was there any collaboration before then?
Yes, there was collaboration beforehand. So I had a great time doing this with Joey Spiotto. Like, he nailed it. So what we did before we even came up with the book was we came up with the characters. So I went to Joey and I was like, help me build this world, this character. So I've actually built five. Y'all only see three in this book, but there's five that's already been built. So once we built the characters and how he built little Lovey, he had me send pictures of me when I was young and now to him. So he got kind of created it from that. But what's interesting is I am very much the little Lovey I was. So like I sent him a picture of me when I was young, when I was wearing a purple fedora, a purple velvet dress. I had two gold chains on and a red lip and I was six. So I'm like, just to be clear, I'm just baby, that girl, just taller. So he literally took that. He took the version of me now and he merged it. And literally it's the same person. I've had the same face since I was born.
So amazing.
When he sent me the first illustration, I melted.
Oh.
We went through a couple of rounds because at one point little Lovey looked too cool. Like so, because my hair is colored right now. So he colored the top of her head.
Okay.
So she was really, I mean, she had chains on, which funny enough, that was actually me as a kid. But I was like, let's uncool her a little bit.
You don't want to make her too intimidating. For the baby.
I said, you know what? Let's take the colors off. Let's take her chain off, but she still has her earrings on. Her gold studs are there. Okay.
I love them.
And he built her sister based on my sister. He saw a picture of my mom. And then we went and then I was like, okay, so what is the story that needs to happen here? So then, I wrote the story about her trying to cook. I sent it to Joey. And I promise you, from the first illustration, I was like, yes. Like, all we did was have to add more colors. I was like, you know what? Let's make it a little bit more colorful. I don't know what like much about interior design, but I said, go nuts. Make it warm. And he exploded the colors. And I was like, yes, thank you.
It's amazing. Even the illustration page, I'm thinking of the spread with the soap, the color for the soap. It's so beautiful. It just is that pop seafoam. Like, I was so impressed with all of those details. So yes, I'm glad you went wild on the color. That was one of my questions for you, was whether you had a sister, because I feel like the sister relationship, as soon as she pops up, AirPods in, like, I don't have time for this right now. I'm an older sister. So I was like, yeah, that's me. 100%.
I definitely have an older sister who's 6 years older than me, and I'm the baby. So that is facts and true. Like, I don't have time for your foolishness. What do you want now? And yet I still bring the foolishness to her. Like, I got this. I'm going to do it myself, since you want to be rude to me. I got this. Meanwhile, I don't have this.
No, didn't have it.
I don't have this at all. No, but I thought I did.
Yes, I can really relate to that. Oh, the colors and all of it, the illustration, that's great that you were able to work with him in that way to develop it. That's really cool when, you know, and I think illustrators are amazing because they're basically translators, right? They're just taking the words, but it's less like creating, and it really is like they translate. Sometimes they can hit things and you think that's exactly how it should have been done.
No, like, he hit it. So like, I had so much fun working on this book, like from start to finish. Me and Joey, we just go back and forth in email, and he's like, all right, here's another draft. And I'm like, nailed it. Bet. Yes. And I would say I kept on changing my mind on certain elements, because some of the stuff I had really good fun with was her shirt.
Yes.
So at first her shirt was just a plain steel shirt. Mm-hmm. And then towards the end of the process, I go, I feel like her shirt is missing. She seems like a kid who would like graphic tees, because I love graphic tees.
Yes.
I was like, can we just put a heart on it? So we put a heart on her shirt. And that was like, I was like, perfect. Nailed it. We got it. She's definitely that kid who goes to Target and goes, I want that t-shirt, mom. I want that one.
Yes. So she is perfect. She's perfectly cool, because I also noticed the graphic tee and I was like, yeah, I mean, I'd wear that. I think that would work. Yeah.
Adult me wants this shirt.
Joey, make me an outfit that adult me wants to wear. Oh, that's what that's what you should do, is get yourself a matching outfit.
So I am, for my book tour.
Yes. I'm so excited.
I'm going to definitely I'm going to be Little Lovey. I will be wearing a jeans. I will be wearing a teal shirt. And I found the perfect shoes to match the shirt.
Oh, stop. I'm very happy for you. Congratulations.
Thank you. That's so exciting to me. Legit.
Yes. Those are the things, those little details. And that's what's so fun, I feel like, about children's books, too. There's just a world of joy there that is.
Yes.
I mean, writing a book is wonderful, and publishing, all the things are really special and magical. But children's books just, there's so much freedom and in the way that you share it. And so that's awesome.
Yeah. Yes. Like, it was fun.
Oh, that's really fun. Now we have your outfit planned. Like I was involved, but you know.
Look, hey, we do have my outfit planned now.
Perfect. Here's a question for you. How did you, so I was reading and listening to your podcast that you had recorded about Little Troublemaker, and you had talked about the five lessons that you wanted Little Lovey to know. And did you start there, or did you start, you started with the characters, obviously, but did you have those in mind before you came up with this story, or that was after? Oh, interesting.
Truly. I wrote the story because I wanted to write a story about this little girl with a big heart, big personality, big feelings in this tiny package, who always feels like she can do something, right?
Yeah.
I wanted to really write it also because it's so counter to the stories that we hear about girls.
Mm-hmm.
So then it was, once I wrote the story, I was like, oh, yes, these lessons were already infused into the spirit of the story. So I pulled those lessons out and said, all right, because I wanted to show that our good intentions, we always got good intentions. Again, I know this kid. I was this kid. And y'all are raising this kid who has such great intentions. You're so kind, right? But their execution is often trash. You love them so much. You're like, I see you. I see what you try to do here. But no, it's bigger than you. And, you know, I also wanted to think about that moment before we all got that abused out of us, bullied out of us, you know. So I wanted to just write that story. So when I wrote that story, those lessons popped out at me. And I was like, that's the lessons that these little girls or boys want to know and want to hear, because they really do want to do something good in the world.
Yes.
They're just so kind and they're just like, I can do it. I want to help. I want to help. I want to do this thing. But they just don't know where to channel their energy. So I just wanted to write that story. But the lessons were embedded.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. Sometimes we all have stuff we need to get off our chests. Even if we don't think it's interfering with our daily life, there are some things you just haven't processed, be it grief or trauma, eating disorders, anything. It might be time to work on those things, and I have a solution for you. Therapy. Online therapy by BetterHelp. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. I took the brief questionnaire online where there were, 20 questions. It didn't take long at all, maybe 3 minutes. And then I got matched with a therapist who could help me work on whatever. I picked trauma because even though it happened in 2001, I am somehow still not over the loss of my friend on 9/11. And it is what it is. BetterHelp is going to help. And I am so excited, especially because with my special code, instead of $80 a month, it is 10% off, $72 a month, which is so much less than traditional therapy. And you'll get a perfect therapist for you. There are 35,000 therapists to choose from, so you'll find the right one. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/momsdonthavetime today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P. .com/momsdonthavetime.
I think that really speaks to you. And I've seen this since I've followed you for a while. You really do have a commitment to authenticity and knowing who you are and your, you know, what lines up for you and what feels right and true. And so it's not surprising to me that what came out in your children's book was totally in line, because I think it's just a credit to what you're trying to do and create. I think it's really cool to see and neat to see in these younger ones. And
it had to exist.
Yes, it did have to. It was meant to be. It's so true. That's such a cool thing about writing a book. I think when you hit it right, it's like, oh, I created it, but also I was just sort of bringing it to be. It was meant to be like that. Yeah, a little.
Correct.
I really like what you were saying, and I had actually written this down, that little kids have big emotions. So I work in an elementary library. And I think the way that your book honors the bigness of that emotion, but it's so true for adults too, that, you know, I have far too many feelings and not always the skills to wrangle them or get them where I need them to be. So it's that same feeling of that. I really just watched, staying true to that little girl. It was a really cool thing to see. How did you decide on what Lovey was going to attempt to make?
So I decided that Lovey was going to attempt to cook jollof rice, which is my favorite dish. I'm Nigerian, born and raised. And you know, every culture has their rice. Mm. Every culture. There's Spanish rice. There's jambalaya in New Orleans. There's fried rice in Asia.
Yes.
So the West African version, think about it. Every main culture has their rice.
Okay.
There's Birani in like India. Like, we all got it.
Yes,
so for
yes.
us, the West Africans, we have jollof rice.
Okay.
Tomato based. It's my favorite thing. I talk about it all the time. It's a big cultural piece. So I wanted to also bring that piece of myself into this story. Mm-hmm. Like, what would she do? I'm also the person who even today still mostly eats Nigerian food. Like, you won't catch me eating sandwiches often because I feel like my spices, if my tongue is not on fire, have I actually eaten? Okay. These are the questions. Okay. So I was like, you know what? What would happen? What would she want to do? She'd find a sandwich in the fridge and be wildly disappointed and be like, where is the rice? And if there's no rice, I'm going to try to make it happen myself.
Yes. Yeah. I'm not eating those nasty leftovers. Thank you very much.
No, I'm going to try to cook a 4 hour process myself because overconfidence. Because why? Audacity. All right.
Audacity. Yes. That's all over. Audacity and destruction. So there
that's
you
it.
Go. Yes.
That's it. Like, yeah.
Oh, I love it. So let's talk about at the end of the book, you know, you do a good job. So you talk about little Lovey, she makes a mess and then she's cleaning it up. I love also the moment of just reconciliation with her mom, or not even reconciliation, but just, you know, that she's getting that forgiveness that she needs to give herself. There's just so many lovely lessons in this book that aren't too heavy-handed, which I really appreciate because sometimes it can get too explicitly stated and then we kind of lose the magic of it. So you did a really nice job with that. What for you? So then at the end, we're talking about, you give a nice little disclaimer about, first about jollof rice, and then about the what good trouble actually is. So what do you hope, like, what's your definition of good trouble?
I think good trouble is the type of trouble that makes the world better than we found it, or the room that we are in better. Mm. So, you know, I told the kids to be their best selves, to say kind things, and then to speak up when they see something unfair, if they feel safe. You know, because I know kids hear trouble, and I am also trying to redefine the word trouble and troublemaker, because often it's attached to people in a way that weaponizes and dehumanizes them. Mm. But like, I think your trouble can be good in a world that's deeply unjust. So encouraging kids that, yes, sometimes when you do make a mess, sometimes when you do get in trouble, sometimes it's necessary trouble, like the late, great John Lewis said. So yes. I wanted to leave them with that guide that, like, this is something you can channel your energy to make the world better, to make your community better, make your family better.
I think that's a valuable message for them. When you were a little troublemaker, what was... Do you have a memory of something like this happening, or was it a regular occurrence for you?
Oh, I got in trouble for my mouth all the time when I was little. I was definitely the kid that got in trouble for saying stuff she wasn't supposed to say, because what happened was, so I had an older brother who I considered my arch nemesis.
Oh.
As older brothers are, right?
Obviously.
Like, what? Older brothers are our first arch nemesis. Come on. So I happen to also be the person who always had to defend herself. Mm. So when my brother would do or say something to me, when he thought my mom wasn't watching, and I would respond back, often disrespectfully, on some like, you can catch this smoke, I'd get in trouble for that. And then I'd get upset because I'd be like, but he should have gotten in trouble first because he did this thing to me.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, I was that kid who was like, that just wasn't even fair. You didn't even ask my side. And then what's funny is after I would get whatever punishment, I would go back to my mom and be like, you owe me an apology.
I just snorted.
Like, I wish I was lying. I am not lying. I would literally go to my mom and be like, Mom, you should say you're sorry to me.
That was poor parenting on your part, Mom. Make
what?
It right.
Legit. No, I would be like, how dare you? How dare you punish me? When you didn't even ask for my side. And she would just like look at me and with marvel, because she's like, not this tiny person telling me that I owe her an apology.
100%.
Oh yeah. No, I was bold. Oh. I was bold.
Yeah. What kind of mom was she in those moments? Or just in general, like what are the things that you took from her?
My mom, oh my gosh. So in those moments, the gift was that she actually didn't have me get in further trouble for telling her, go tell me sorry. Like, I didn't get the further trouble with that, which is also, she's created a monster, because
she really let like, it get out of control.
She really did. Oh, come on. She would literally just kind of like laugh me off and just tell me, okay, go sit down somewhere, go continue what you were doing. Right.
Yes.
So I didn't get punished for using my voice to advocate for myself in that way to her, which was a gift, because I was like, well, my voice matters. Okay, cool. So my mom was very much like, she was very protective of me. I was the baby. So of course, come on, the baby gets away with murder. Oh, and I was really freaking cute. Like,
yeah.
But overall, I was actually a really like well-behaved kid. Mm. Like I got great grades in school. I did my homework without being prompted. Like I was the kid who would come home, drop my bag, pull out my homework, finish it, and then go play. So she, you know, I gave her a lot of reasons to trust me and to really kind of let me do my thing. Cause, and then the trouble that I got into was not like big trouble. I wasn't touching fire or putting myself in danger. Right. I was just using my voice. And yeah, so she kind of, she showed me what it was like to be kind. She gave me grace often. She protected me. So it made me feel like I could go out into the world and do big things.
Yeah, that's really neat to hear. I love to hear what people got from their parents, because it sounds like she gave you, it sounds like she let you be you and gave you the guardrails for that to happen in a way that worked and didn't cause you problems outside of things.
Yeah, and she was really kind. And I think above all, that's one of the things that I've gotten from my mom the most, like her deep kindness. Mm. Like my mom is such a giving person. She would give you the shirt off her back if you said you liked it. My grandmother was the same way. So like from them, I know, I was like, okay, I have to be kind. Like I have to give people things that I have in abundance. I have to do my part to be better. I have to make a room better. I have to be really nice to people and make sure like, if somebody needs money and I have a lot of money, I should give them some of mine. So all of that I actually really learned from my mom.
Yeah.
And I think that was at the core. That's always been at the core of my troublemaking. And that's oftentimes at the core of when kids are trying to do something nice for somebody. It's just this deep kindness. They just want to give back. So, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I love that you had space for that. How did you get into writing originally? How does it feed you now?
Oh, man. So I started blogging 20 years ago. Wow. Exactly 20 years ago. I was in college. It was my freshman year in college. My friends peer pressured me into starting a blog. And then I started this blog and I never stopped writing. I fell in love with writing outside the classroom. And I think my writing really kind of took hold. Like one of my friends ends up being editor-in-chief at the school paper. And she's like, I want you to be an advice column. What's funny is that advice column is very parallel to my first ever book, I'm Judging You. Because I used to write it at the back of the school paper every Wednesday. It'd come out. People would stop me on campus and be like, I read your advice column. That was great. So, all these different breadcrumbs of the fact that I was supposed to be a writer started in college. I've always been in honors English classes. So I actually really started in high school.
Okay.
Elementary school. I've always been a really good writer, I guess. Cause my first course in high school, freshman year, first day was honors English.
Mm.
So I've been molded by the teachers around me. Like librarians have been big. Like my seventh grade teacher was my favorite teacher ever. She was my first English teacher that really like said, your work is good. And I'm like, oh, like my grades were off the chain because she's like, yep, you can write. But I didn't take it as anything. But right. I think college, when I started writing outside of the classroom, and then my deep love of writing took over, and I realized it was my purpose to use my words to shift the world, shift the room, not even the world. I just wanted to shift the room.
Yeah. Does that feel like, are you working on another book for adults, may I ask? Or are we?
Yes.
Okay.
I will give y'all that. I'm excited about that. So that's probably going to be a 2025 book, but I do have, basically I'll be dropping some things in the next couple of years.
So exciting. I'm so glad. I love your writing. You have such a good balance. It's for adults too. I read I'm Judging You years ago and I loved it. You have such a good way of delivering the hard truth without, you're kind in it. That's exactly what it is. So you're definitely achieving it. I'm glad
Thank
that
you.
You're a writer. I think that you are where you're meant to be. So that's always a good feeling.
I mean, I fought it for me because I was like, how do writers make money? I don't know how writers make money. How do they buy shoes? I'm also who's going to pay for my shoes? Is it my writing? And then eventually my writing started paying for my shoes. So I kept doing it.
I'm glad that it has blossomed and paid for your shoes. My husband is still trying to figure out how I make money in this calculus. And I'm like, don't worry about it. It's fine. The math will check out later. Don't
worry about it. Right? Yeah. Like the math will math. Don't worry about it.
Yes, the math will math. Tell him that next time. Yep, it's fine. I got 10% off. It's like I'm making money and the math will.
Correct. Mm-hmm. Exactly. See? Yeah.
I think we could shop together and I think it would be a disaster.
It would be an actual disaster. My husband would be like, why did you do it? It would be just a ginormous dumpster fire for them, but it would be great for us.
It's okay? True. Yeah. And I am in shoes. It would be great for us. So I think we can get it done. Sneakers. I can't wear fancy shoes.
Oh, listen, I'm the queen of sneakers. I'm like a big sneakerhead. I have like probably 150 pairs.
Oh, this is just meant to be. I'm so excited. More things we have in common.
Absolutely.
I love hearing about just this book and coming to life. So I guess my last question for you is, as it makes its way into the world, we're kind of on the cusp of it coming out. This podcast will come out a little bit later, but I'm so excited. What do you hope for Little Troublemaker Makes a Mess? What would be your vision of this is what I want it to do?
I want this book to transform little kids. And by transform, I mean, I want them to read it and feel seen, feel loved, feel affirmed. And they go, that's me. So when I did parents.com actually launched the cover. Okay. And the journalist is a mom of two and they're 4 and 6. So they were the first kids to read this book. And she said when she got to the part where little Lovey was like, I'm not a baby. She said her daughter was like, I say that.
Oh,
I was like, yes, yes. So that's what I want. I want them to feel seen. I want them to normalize and know that their energy, like there's other people like them in the world. Mm-hmm. If they feel different, I want them to go, oh, I'm not so different. Little Lovey's just like me too. And she acts like me and I would do that too. How I did that before. And I think that's even powerful. So that's the transformation I want, just for them to go, there's somebody else like me who thinks like me, who acts like me. And they're also lovable and they're also amazing. So I am too. I want it to be a reflection for them. Mm.
Well, I do think it will be. So I think you've done a wonderful job and I can't wait for the world to have it. And thanks so much for talking with me today. This was so much fun. And we'll schedule our shopping date later.
Seriously, anytime. I am always a queen of shoes. Like you can DM me and I'll be like, what shoes are you looking for? Because I'll send you a link. I am the enabler of shoe purchases.
Oh, perfect. It's meant to be.
It is meant to be. Have you seen my shoe Instagram?
No. How have I not?
You don't know I have a shoe Instagram?
I feel I'm getting sweaty right now. Oh my gosh. Julie, okay. I'm right after this. How did I miss this?
I have an Instagram that is literally dedicated to my shoe closet. It is at Must Love Shoes. Okay. At Must Love Shoes. And the love is LUVV. Literally, I post random pictures of me in my random shoes because now I use it as like a shoe catalog for myself. When I'm getting dressed, I'll sometimes scroll through and be like, which shoes do I want to wear today?
Oh my gosh, it's like Clueless on your phone on social media.
I'm telling you, literally, the account only exists to document my shoes. That is the only purpose.
Oh, well, I'm on it. I mean, and I feel like we've done everyone a public service by sharing this today. Must yes. Love Shoes, LUVV. That's, yes. I mean, you heard it here first.
I mean, you heard, come on, Julie, I'm going to be spending your money. I'm actually going to be spending your money. I just want you to know.
I can't wait. It's going to be great.
Tell your husband I'm sorry. And I'm not really sorry.
No, I won't even bother. No. It's okay.
Yeah,
It's fine.
It's fine.
Well, thank you so much for the time and best of luck with the book. Can't wait to see it in the world.
Thank you so much, Julie. And thank you for your work. You know, I was telling you that like librarians are amazing. Y'all do such thankless work and creating space that exists just to pour words into people is kind of magical. So you're doing magical work every single day. So I really appreciate librarians everywhere.
Well, thank you. It's my joy. So thank you, friend.
Yes, indeed.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Moms Don't Have Time to Read Books. Don't forget to follow me on Instagram at Zibby Owens and at Moms Don't Have Time to Read Books. Also sign up for my newsletter at ZibbyOwens.com and sign up for my virtual book club and meet lots of authors on Zoom every other week. Thanks so much to Steve and Ryan at Texture Sound for the sound editing. And thank you to Morning Moon Productions for providing this fantastic intro and outro music.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.